it'd be a good idea, isn't it?
We need it. Yeah.
Lord, we love you and we thank you that you've given us these amazing stories, Lord, about the things you did and the truths that they convey to us right down through the centuries to this very moment, Lord. So we pray you'll bless us and help us, Lord, and grant us your grace as we share our time together in your word. We ask it, Father, with the help of your Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 11. Oh, it's a good one, this. It's the story of Lazarus. Lazarus. There are several Lazaruses in the Bible, but this is Lazarus, who is a brother of two ladies, Mary and Martha. And his name Lazarus means God's help, or God helps, yeah? It's a good name. It comes from Eleazar. That's the sort of original name for him. Right, so let's find it. John chapter 11, which begins by, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick." Well, nothing unusual about that, is it? Part of the world in which we live. Sickness seems to come in one way or another, right? He was from Bethany. Now, there are several Bethanies in the Bible as well. Particularly at the time of Jesus. There's a Bethany in the north, and there's a Bethany in the south. Which Bethany do you think this one is?
In the north.
It's the south, because it's near Jerusalem. That's the reason, yes, it's near Jerusalem, right? So, he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, John assumes you know about that. See? Because he's telling you, it's the same Mary that you've heard about before. So, it just a little indication, John is writing to people who knew what the other Gospels were all about, yeah? So, he's saying here, he was the brother of Mary. Why is Mary mentioned first? Because she's the younger one of the two sisters, you know. But it's because Mary did the pouring of the oil. That's the reason she's mentioned, yeah? Anyway, sister Martha. We know about Martha too. You know what Martha was good at?
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen, yes. Yeah. And she comes out shining in this one as well. She does well as Martha this time, yeah? Right, so this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." That's great, eh? When you got problems, who do you go to turn to?
The one you love.
Jesus.
Yeah,
yes. And they said to Jesus, right, the chap that you care about, the one you love, he's not well. Yes, that's Lazarus. He knows it's Lazarus, of course, because it's their brother. So that's the message. They send the message. They stay looking after Lazarus, yeah, while they send off a messenger to go and see. Now Jesus is up north, so it's going to take a while to get there. Yeah. So we've got several days that are going to be solved. They didn't have emails in those days. Not straight in, no. So it takes a while for a message to get somewhere. Yeah.
So what was his close circle of friends and family? He got his parents.
Who?
Jesus'
close circle. Well, yeah. The assumption is that Joseph, his foster dad, we call him, probably died. He's not mentioned after the early narratives of him. Mm-hmm. Mary is with the other Marys and the ladies. They follow around.
Bethany.
No, this is a different Mary. This one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's several Marys. There are lots of Marys in the Bible. Yes.
So his mother lives in.
She lived up north. So they travelled around with Jesus. Yes, and she was in Jerusalem later on, as we'll see, when the crucifixion occurs.
He's obviously got a strong relationship with Lazarus, Mary and Martha.
Oh yes, 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 they were good friends. Yes, yeah.
Joseph must have been around for a while, because Jesus has stepped for half brothers and sisters, hasn't he?
Oh yes, yes, right. I mean, Joseph didn't suddenly die as soon as he married Mary. Yeah.
Yeah,
No. There's obviously children were born later, yeah. Yeah, but he's not mentioned. Remember, Jesus began his ministry when he was about 30. Mm. So for 30 years, Joseph is doing his job as looking after the family. Mm. But if he was an older man to start with, then he probably reached his 70s. And, yeah. Okay. Right, so, the one you love is sick. What's good about that is that they're telling Jesus that It's your responsibility, is it really? You love him. You know, what are you going to do about it, is really? Well, it's a nice way of putting it, though, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so they tell Jesus. It's good to tell Jesus your problems. Yeah? That's what they do. Right, so, we should do the same. Yeah? Tell Jesus your problems. Yeah? Because, I promise you, you will have problems. Ah, well, that's what it's about, you see. Answers will come. Yes. Right. So, when Jesus heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." How about that? So Jesus answered to the people who come with the message. He says to them and the disciples around him, "This sickness will not end in death." Which means he's going to recover. They assume that means he's not going to die. Right? But what Jesus means is that even if he dies, that's not the end of the story. We're going to make sure there's a different ending to it. Yeah? So that, Jesus is seeing beyond what the immediate thing is. Yeah? So this sickness will not end in death. Mind you, God's given those words to some people, you know, who have been ill.
Yeah.
Right?
They gave that to me when Jesus
said. Yes, yeah. So, you know, it can mean when God applies it to your situation, it means you're not going to die from what you're suffering at the time. But in this instance, that's not quite what Jesus meant. But, yeah? Right, so, no, the reason it's not going to end in death is because God's going to get the glory so that Jesus, God's Son, may be glorified through. So God gets the glory and Jesus gets the glory as well. So it's going to be something that's really worth seeing and experiencing, yeah? So, and then we find verse 5, one of those strange verses is, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yeah? No doubt about it. He says it in plain black and white. Jesus loved Mary, Martha and Lazarus, yeah? Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Strange, eh? Yeah? God doesn't do it the way we want, you know, that's the thing. And why did he delay?
Because he knew he was going to heal him.
Because if he'd gone back and healed him when he was sick, that's one wonderful miracle. But if he goes back and raises him from the dead, you're talking a different order altogether. Yeah. And so that's what's going on behind the scenes, of course. But Jesus, when he heard he was sick, waited there more 2 more days. So while Jesus is there, he's obviously thinking about the Lazarus and Mary, and no doubt lifting them up before his father. Lazarus is still alive at this point in time. Yeah, so Jesus is waiting for him to die. Okay, so what happens is the next bit. Yeah. Then he said to his disciples, this is after the couple of days, yeah, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Right, so they're up north, and they're going back south. Yeah? Let's go back to Judea. That's back to the lion's den. Yeah?
They're waiting for you.
"But Rabbi," they said, this is the disciples' response, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there." Yeah, so we've seen the bit in the early chapter where they tried to stone Jesus for claiming to be a good shepherd, you know? So they say, "What are you going back for? They tried to kill you last time, why are you going down there?" So Jesus gives them this answer. The main thing, cryptic answer in some ways, but it's a wonderful answer. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees in this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." Now, if Jesus has just answered you with a question like that, with an answer like that, what would you think?
Scratch your head for
what are you talking about? Right? They say, "Why are you going back to Judea?" And then he talks about walking during the day instead of walking during the night. Right? Well, when Jesus says something, it's worth thinking about. What does he mean?
It's safer to travel by day.
Yes, that's the human level, the logic of it, yes. It's safer to travel by day. Yeah, and?
You rest at night,
yes, yes.
If anyone walks in the way of the Lord, he does not stumble because he sees the Lord of this world.
Yeah? Where did you get that from?
Just come in.
Right.
Out of my head.
Out of your head. Well, that's a good one. Jesus is basically saying, while I'm doing what my Father wants, it's daylight. As long as I stick with what Father wants, I won't be tripping up. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So Jesus is really saying is, I know what I'm doing, I know why I'm going, don't worry. Yeah, it's really what it's about. I'm walking in the light, I'm not going into the dark. Yeah? So that's the answer. Right, after he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. Right, now again, Jesus uses some funny language, doesn't he? For the disciples. The problem with the disciples, they're like us. They take everything at face value, you know, they don't think, they just...
What's he talking about?
Right.
He said...
Right, Lazarus, no he's not said that. He says, Lazarus has fallen asleep. Yeah? Well, if you heard that someone who was sick has fallen asleep, what would you assume?
He died.
No. No. It means he's now fallen into a good sleep, he's recovering. Yeah? A decent sleep means you're getting over it, doesn't it? Yeah. 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 If the fever's passed and you suddenly go to sleep, you're on your way up, aren't you?
I think he was going the other way. No,
he's not in a coma, he's falling asleep. No, he wouldn't use the word coma. Not that I don't really have the word coma, but there you are.
That's what I thought.
Lazarus has fallen asleep. That he means that he's past the worst. That's really what that's what to my understanding is. He's fallen asleep. He's past the worst. Jesus uses the term fallen asleep to mean he died. Why does he use that? Well, think about that for a moment. Why does he use the term fallen asleep to describe the death of a believer?
Because
he's coming back. Yeah. Yes, he's going to wake up. Right? Dead people don't stay dead when they're believers. That's the point. Yes. Right, so it's like falling asleep. Right, that's the idea. So he says, Lazarus has fallen asleep and I'm going there to wake him up. So it's cryptic language in a way, but Jesus is saying, if we want to translate it into what he means, is Lazarus has died and I'm going to bring him back. But he uses the terms about sleep and waking him up. So the disciples, like the rest of us, say this. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Which establishes what I mean. Rather than you saying he's getting worse, if he's gone to sleep, it means he's got over it. He's improving. Yeah? Mm. That like this? Mm. He's not coming. Well, there you are.
If you say so.
It says so there. If he's fallen asleep, the disciples assume he's going to get better. You see, they didn't have hospitals in those days, you see. So if you got over it by sleeping, you're on your way up to health again, yeah? So, Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep.
See, that's
what I think, see? You're like one of these disciples. Yeah. Jesus meant he died, but they thought... Well, they just thought he was asleep. That's all they thought. Natural sleep. Yeah. So, then he told them plainly. Why did he have to tell them plainly? Because they're thick. Right? Right, like the rest of us, they think that, when I say they're not stupid people. The problem for the disciples, and we have to watch these brothers and sisters, they think literally. And sometimes to take what Jesus says literally means you'll miss it. Yeah? So I'll give you one example. Jesus says, I am the door. He does not mean it literally. But that's fairly obvious, isn't it? But quite often, Jesus is talking in spiritual terms and using natural language to describe it. So always, when you read what Jesus says, think, there may be more to this than what I see. Yeah. So, he tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So, he tells them now, Lazarus has died, and he says, I'm glad that you weren't there, because it'd be a sad, really terrible time for them, wouldn't it, yeah? So, you're going to see something special, he said. Let's go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, Didymus means twin, by the way. Thomas was a twin. Yeah, that's what Didymus means, yeah? So Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Right. Smart guy, this Thomas. Yeah, Thomas is the doubting Thomas, you know. Yeah. And basically, what is Thomas thinking? Jesus is going back to Jerusalem, to the lion's den. He's going to get himself killed. Right? Well, we're his followers. We might as well go with him and get killed as well. That's their logic. Yeah. So Thomas, he's faithful, isn't he? You've got to give him that, yeah? He's just not got it. Yeah. You think he's sarcastic? No. I don't think he's sarcastic. He wouldn't be sarcastic about the Lord. He's just...
Well, he wouldn't have put it in the Bible if he had.
People can be sarcastic in the Bible, but I don't think Thomas is one for that, to be honest, yeah? Mm-hmm. I think he's saying, I think it's a sort of resignation. Oh, well, if he's going to do it like this, we'd better follow him, sort of thing. I think that's what's going on in my way of thinking, anyway. You might be right, you know.
You said Thomas is called Didymus. They called him Didymus, not
Yes.
Thomas.
Sorry?
They called him Didymus, not Thomas.
Well, he obviously was called Didymus as one of these nicknames, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what his brother's name was.
Didymus. Didymus 2. We don't know. We never hear of Didymus 2 at all, so... Right. Okay, so... Well, Tom, we'll come across Thomas later on. I like Thomas. Thomas is a good lad. He's one who thinks literally as well. They all do. We all do sometimes, yeah? So, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now remember, Jesus had come all the way from the north. It's going to take 3 days or so. So when he heard that Lazarus was dead, by the time he arrived on the fourth day, Lazarus has been buried. Then you know they do quick funerals there in the Middle East. It's, as soon as he's died,
before nightfall.
Yeah, so buried, and it's all done. Yeah. Right now, but there's something significant about the 4 days. Not significant to Jesus, but significant to the people.
He's really dead.
Yeah. You see, the people of those times, people have strange superstitions, but they did. Yeah, they believed that for 3 days the spirit hovered around the body, just in case it wanted to come back, I suppose, or something. I don't know, but anyway, after 3 days, on the fourth day, the spirit's definitely gone. You're really, really, really dead. Right, that's it. Yeah. So, okay, that's what the significance of the 4 days is. Yeah. Right. So Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. So, as I said, that's the southern Bethany. It's just over the hill on the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. So a couple of miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. How sympathetic they were to Jesus, we don't know. But here these people had come. They'd heard about Lazarus. I wonder what their network was for people to know. I mean, sometimes they have professional mourners, you know.
Yeah.
People come along and just wail and mourn. Just to, yeah, the wailers. Yeah, they do, honestly, have professional people just to make you feel miserable better, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if someone likes you at your funeral, you can just hire one of them.
Well, that may be some of them, but some of them will obviously come out of sympathy for Mary and Martha. And... you know, when tough things happen, it's nice to have people around you, isn't it? Yeah?
Yeah.
They don't have to say anything, they just need to be there, that's all. So that's what they've done. They've come to comfort Mary and Martha in the loss of their brother. And it must have been a big thing to them, yeah? When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. So there they're in the house. And the mourning process can last quite a while, you know. They've had him buried 4 days, but they're still mourning. Yeah.
Sit and shiver, they call
it. Sorry?
Sit and shiver.
Sit and shiver, do they? All right. Yeah, well.
Yeah. They sit on little
stools. Yeah, well, poor old Martha. Someone must have told her. And you know, some messengers told Martha that Jesus is on his way. He's arriving fairly soon, yeah? And so... Martha gets up, and Mary stays at home. Yeah. So there's the two. See, it may be that Jesus sent word saying, "Could I see Martha?" You know, maybe that's why Mary stayed. We don't know. But Jesus wants to have a conversation with Martha first. Anyway, that's what happens. Yeah. So Martha goes out to meet him, right? And then when she meets Jesus, she says, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Yeah? Now that's true. Yeah. If Jesus had been there, the brother wouldn't have died. Yeah? He would have raised him from the dead, and raised him from his sickness. Yeah? Is it a criticism?
No.
You know? If you'd have been here sooner, you know, it all wouldn't have happened. No, that's not what she's saying.
She said, "I wish you would have been here."
I wish you'd been here, yeah. Yeah. It's a heart, broken heart speaking, yeah. Lord, if you'd have been here, things would have been different, yeah? But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask, yeah? Now, why does she say that?
Yeah, she can still do it.
She's faith.
There's some faith then.
Yeah.
What sparked that off?
Yeah.
Now, speculation, my guess is this. Remember when the servants or friends or whatever went up north to ask Jesus to come down, Jesus told them, this sickness will not end in death.
Yeah.
Right? They come back and report to Mary and Martha what Jesus said, and then he goes and dies. Right? And I suspect that thought was buzzing around in there. What did he mean? His sickness won't end in death. So I suspect that's got a bit of the fuel to Mary and Martha's thinking. It's that even now, I believe what God gives you, you'll do, yeah? He'll do, yeah? So, Jesus says this to her. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Could he? Your brother will rise again. Yeah.
She believed in the resurrection.
Right. Ah, well, there's two wonderful things in this one. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. She thinks he means...
in the resurrection.
In the resurrection. We'll see that in a moment. But Jesus means... this week, today, right now.
Yeah.
Again, what Jesus says, we think on the natural, but Jesus means more so often than what we think, yeah?
But Jesus already been preaching the resurrection last night.
He'd already done the resurrection for some people. There were several people who died before now when Jesus was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Remember the widow of Nain with her son. The funeral was marching out to bury the lad. And he stops the coffin and tells the lad to get out. In fact, someone said, you know, I believe it's, I think it's the right number, someone says, Jesus went to 5 funerals, including his own, and he ruined every one of them. It's good, isn't it? So, anyway, yes, here's one, he's going to ruin, yeah? He will rise, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Now then, that tells you something about what she believed.
Yeah. No,
she believed the basic Bible teaching, because the Bible teaches about the resurrection. Yeah? Yeah? So she believed that. She believed the Bible. And she believed that there would come a time, at the end of time, when the dead would rise. So she believes in the resurrection. Can you give me a verse in the Old Testament where it teaches the resurrection? In Job, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last I will stand on the latter day and see him, yes, right? Another one. That's Job. I'm talking about the general resurrection. Right, how about Daniel? Daniel, give you any... let's have a look at Daniel then, just to give you something to think about. The right end of last chapter or so of Daniel. Right. And it's one of the final visions that Daniel has given. About the end times. Yeah? It's chapter 12. And he says this. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, that's the angel, Michael, yeah? Your people will arise. There will be times of distress, such that has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Now verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. So that's the promise of the resurrection of all. Some to life, the sheep, some to everlasting shame, the goats. Yeah? Yeah? So that's the Old Testament. So she believed that. She believed that her brother would rise at the end. Yeah. Because she believed he loved the Lord. Yeah. Right. So, but Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So, Jesus... he's going to use all these things. He said it was going to be for the glory of God and for the glory of Jesus. And this is what this whole Lazarus thing's about. It's a sign. It tells you something about Jesus. And what does it tell you about Jesus? That he is the resurrection and the life. Yeah? And so what happens is he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Another one of those I ams that Jesus says. Yeah? And he says he's the source of life eternal life that brings you back. Yeah? And he says this, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. Yeah? Right, so even if he dies, he's going to live. Well, we know that. Yes, that's resurrection. Yeah? And whoever lives and believes, who lives and believes in me will never die. What's that mean? You'll never die. It's eternal life. Yeah. Never die, that use of the term there means that what we see later on in John's Revelation, there are two deaths. Yeah? There's the first physical death, and there's the last spiritual death. Yeah? So what Jesus is saying is that those who believe in him, who are trusting in him, will never face that final separation from God, which is eternal death. Yeah? So that's what he's saying. I'm resurrection, I'm bringing him back, and he's going to live forever and alive. Yeah. So, do you believe this? He says to Martha. Right. So Jesus has spoken to her. Jesus has spoken with confidence and power. And what's her reaction? Do you believe this?
Yeah.
She said.
Yes.
What did she say?
Yes.
Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. So she says, yes, I believe you, Lord. Right. I believe you're the Messiah, the Christ, that's the word Messiah there, right. The Son of God. She's really got it, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She really does believe who Jesus is. Her faith is flying at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah?
Her faith is flying. She's really got a focus on Jesus, what Jesus has promised about her brother. She believes it, right.
Yeah.
Well, then she walks away, and she goes and calls her sister, as we'll see, and we'll find out that Martha, in a few moments, is going to look like she doesn't believe anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange? Yeah? Do you know why? You do know why. Hey?
Lazarus
is still dead. Yes? And she goes to the tomb. We'll look at the details. She goes to the tomb. Right? And what does she look at?
Lazarus
is inside the tomb.
Oh.
She looks at the tomb where she should have been looking at Jesus. Now, I know a guy called Peter who did exactly the same. Peter was a man full of faith. You don't get out of a boat and start walking on water if you've got no faith. So Peter had bags of faith. Praise the Lord! He's doing great while he's watching Jesus. And the moment he takes his eyes off Jesus and starts looking at the problem, he goes down. Martha does exactly the same, bless her. Yeah? It's part of being one of these Christians, you know. We can fly along in faith one minute and then we meet a problem and down we go. Right. Well, that's how we are. Lord help us, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so dear Martha, after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. So, we're not told Jesus said that, but he must have.
Mm-hmm.
See, John doesn't write down everything that happens. He's giving us a summary. So Jesus must have said to Martha, now go back and tell Mary, I'd like to have a word with her as well. Yeah? So that's what she does. She goes back, the teacher is here. That's their affectionate name for Jesus, he's the teacher. Yeah? Could he teach, eh? Wow. she said, he's asking for you. So when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Wow, that's nice, isn't it? She's not sitting around, soon as she hears, she's off. Right.
Well, I want you just around to
him. Now the fact that she went quickly creates a problem. Yes. If she'd have gone out quietly, it wouldn't have happened the way it did. But God has different ways of doing things. She went out quickly and it creates an issue. Yeah. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. Why hadn't Jesus gone into the village?
He's saying what's happening first. He hadn't time to get there.
He hadn't had time to get there, but he stayed there. He didn't go. He didn't even make an attempt to go into the village. Preaching? No.
Went to see if the Jews were in.
No.
Oh,
it's near the graveyard. Yeah. They don't bury people in villages, they bury them outside the village.
Oh, right.
Yeah? So, it's near the graveyard, that's my assumption, yeah? Right. So Jesus is near where the action's going to be. Right. Nope. He's not needed in the village, he's needed outside the village. Yeah? So he waits there. Right. So Mary turns up to there. Right. When the Jews who'd been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. They think that, you know, Mary is, she's rushing out, you know, people do this, don't they? They're overcome with grief, they just run off or whatever it is. You know, she's weeping and crying and all that sort of thing. And the people who come to comfort her thought, oh dear, poor thing, she's really suffering, we'd better go on and comfort her. So the Jews, the people that come to comfort her, follow Mary. Right. Was that in the plan?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm. Because Jesus is going to do something that will astound not only Mary and Martha,
not everybody,
but the lot of them. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
He's going to get some glory out of this. Yeah. So they all chase off after her, of course. Right. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. They could have been twins, these girls, couldn't they?
Yeah,
exactly the same, because they felt the same. Mm. Yeah, Lord, if only you'd been here. If only. Yeah. It's a terrible word, that, isn't it, if only?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you lived through if only? Yeah. If only this, if only that.
Yeah.
It's no good, dear friends. Won't be any good. But we do it, don't we? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, so when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Now, there's something. What's going on in Jesus?
He's getting
sympathetic
now.
That's really what's going on. But when he says deeply moved, it's emotional, but deeply moved means he's sort of almost angry with it as well. Yeah? There's really stirred up. Yeah? Deeply moved. Really stirred up. Some have said Jesus is angry at what sin's done to man, you know. And there's a measure of truth in that, isn't there? You know, he sees what sin's done, it's produced death, it's produced sorrow, it's produced breakup in the family, all of that stuff has originated from the fall of man. Yeah? Adam messed it up big time, yeah? It's worked its way through in the families and all of that. So some have said, you know, well, Jesus is responding to that understanding of what's going on. Maybe.
Okay. Sort of echoing you back to verse 15 where Jesus says, I'm glad you weren't there, I'm glad you didn't see it.
Yeah.
And now he's seen it, and on the human level, it's kind of
hit really strong, yeah. But I think it shows the humanity of Jesus to my mind as well. I mean, you've got to be pretty hard hearted to see some people that you care about, you love, really, really suffering and grieving. You know, it cuts, doesn't it? And so Jesus responds to that, yeah? So, what happens? He says, where have you laid him? He asked. So, they didn't have markers on graves, I don't suppose. Mm-hmm. So, where's he been put? Yes. Fortunately, in those days, they didn't bury them. They put them in caves. Right? Imagine if they'd been buried, you know. They had to dig him up, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's just my silly thought on that one, but there you are. Right, anyway. Where have you laid him? Right. And come and see, Lord, they replied. So that's the group of them say, come and see, Lord. And then the shortest verse in the Bible is the next verse.
Mm.
Jesus wept. How about that?
Mm.
Do you know, John's Gospel is an amazing thing. What it does is it shows you the deity, the glory, the power of Jesus as God's Son acting in power. That's one side. And yet in John's Gospel you see the most human side of Jesus too. Right? And weeping is definitely human, isn't it, really, you know? He wept. Nothing wrong with tears. Us grown lads don't believe in tears, do we, eh? We're macho, we don't do weeping, do we?
So we say.
So we say, yeah. Yeah. I remember at my dad's funeral, my dad's coffin was in the house, and my brother, he came in, and we saw Dad there, lying there, and he started weeping. And he was embarrassed.
Oh.
I said, to my brother, there's nothing wrong, well, I said in Yorkshire, of course, there's no wrong with tears, David.
Mm.
Nothing wrong with tears. Jesus went.
Mm.
Yeah, so he sees what's going on, you know. Right? So, and then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And he did. And they see Jesus' response to the sadness and the misery. Yeah? Mm. So they saw that. They saw this Jesus as a real, real person. See how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? See, that was the last miracle that they'd heard about.
Mm.
That was when Jesus was in Jerusalem previously, when they were going to stone him. And they said, couldn't he who opened the eyes of the blind man? I mean, that's an astounding miracle. Open the eyes of the blind. Couldn't he have stopped him from dying? Well, the answer is, of course he could have stopped him from dying. But he didn't stop him from dying because he's going to bring him back from dead.
Mm.
It's even better, isn't it?
Yeah.
except for Lazarus. I always feel sorry for Lazarus.
Yeah? Leaving
there waiting, roasting. Well, no, Lazarus is dead. His spirit's gone home to be with the Lord, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, he's in heaven. His body's on earth. He's waiting for the final resurrection. Yeah, but he's gone to be with the Lord. Yeah? And Lazarus is enjoying the presence of God, and he gets this message from the Lord, Lazarus, got bad news for you. You've got to go back. Yeah. Honest. You've got to go back. Right? And live in that body and die again. I mean, the only man who died twice. Well, those who were raised from, he's going to die twice, you know. He's already died once, but for Lazarus, dying the second time is going to be different. Yes? Because he knows where he's going. Because he's been there. Yeah? So, it'd be completely different, wouldn't it?
When he died, he went straight to heaven.
Yeah.
He doesn't wait for God to come back and...
No. His spirit went to be with the Lord.
Oh, yeah. So
when we die, our bodies stay here. We know that, don't we? Because we bury them. Yeah? But the spirit leaves the body, right, and goes to be with the Lord. Yeah. It's good, isn't it? Yeah. No. Straight, isn't it? Yeah.
I'll do the waiting game.
Philippians, Paul says that, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Yeah, why? Yeah, because I'm going to be with Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, so. There you go. So, where are we? I've lost my place. Verse 38. Jesus, at once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. That was a big stone as well, you know, they made sure that... Why did they put a stone across, by the way?
So,
keep the animals out, yes. Because they would smell the decaying body. Sorry?
And flies.
No, they won't keep the flies out. No, the flies will get in, I'm certain, yeah.
Yeah, the maggots.
Yeah, it's all part of that decomposition thing.
If you go to Turkey and you go on a boat trip, you can see all the mountains and everything. They've all got the tombs in.
Yeah.
It really takes you back to like thinking about biblical times when you've got them, because they were all the graves.
Mm.
Quite interesting.
Just keep the animals out.
Mm.
Pretty sure that's what it's about here. Yeah. Mm. So, where are we? A great stone. So, take away the stone, he said. Now. That's good, isn't it? But there's something interesting about this. Why does Jesus tell them to take away the stone?
They put it there.
They put it there. That's a good one, yes.
He's got to walk out,
yes?
They don't want to say that.
Let me put it this way. Jesus is about to do one of the most amazing miracles that the world has ever seen.
I don't want anyone to know what he's making.
Right? But... And people can't do miracles like Jesus does. But they can't move stones.
Yeah.
And we'll see that Jesus never does for you what he knows you can do for yourself.
Yeah?
Yeah? They can move stones. No problem. So get them to move the stone. But they can't bring dead men back. He can. Yeah? So we'll see it again in a moment. Yeah? So, move the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odour, for he's been in there 4 days. Right? This is Martha. You know the one, I believe, Lord? Right? But the moment she sees the stone and probably smells something as well, she says, Lord, he's smelly. Yeah? He's been there for... I'm sorry, you've had your tea, haven't you? I'm pleased to see you. He's been in there 4 days, right? So the body's decomposing. That's what they say. Yeah?
Not a
nice smell. No. And Martha's thinking about all that. And then Jesus turns around to her and reminds her again. Look at this. Jesus said to her, did not I tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? So he's taking her back to where he reminded her what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Why is he doing that? To bring her faith up. I mean, the girl's struggling. Yeah, she's confronted by what she can see. And she's got that and what she's been told. And brothers and sisters, you'll face that all the time. We all do, don't we? Yeah? What looks like horrible, and God says, I'm going to do something. Who are you going to believe?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. Who are you going to believe? The one who's got the power, or what it looks like? So, Martha, look at me. Get your eyes off that. Look at me, is what he's getting at. Didn't I tell you? Right, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.
Yeah.
So Jesus, first of all, looks up to heaven. Looks up. Yeah? Why does he look up?
Heaven.
It's an attitude of prayer, isn't it? Yes? Mm. He looked up to heaven. Yeah? And he prays. And he prays out loud. Are you good at praying out loud? Or are you frightened of your own voice?
No, I don't know.
Well, when you're young Christians, yeah, you hear yourself praying, it can be quite a bit of a hard thing, isn't it?
It takes a long time to pray.
Well, anyway, Jesus prayed out loud. Yeah? Why did he pray out loud?
For the glory of God.
For the glory of God.
People
could hear what Jesus said.
Mm.
Yeah? And he's not talking to them, but he's talking so that they can hear him. I mean, he's talking to Father, isn't he? Father, I thank you. You always hear me. I know that. But he's saying this so that they can hear their conversation.
Yeah?
And the reason he's doing that is he's making the connection for them. What is about to happen is an answer to prayer, and God is backing up what Jesus says. Yeah, that's what Jesus has been saying all along. My Father and I are one. When I do something, I'm doing what Father wants, and when I do it, Father backs it up. Yeah? So he's making the connection for them again. I'm God's son here, I can do this. So, Father, I thank you, you always hear me, yeah? I knew that you'd heard me. Right? But I've done this so that they may believe you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice. Yes. Why did he call out in a loud voice? So everyone could hear. Was it so that Lazarus could hear?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it wasn't. Because Lazarus is dead. Dead men don't hear. Yeah? It wasn't for Lazarus's benefit, I'm quite sure. Remember, Jesus can do things at a distance. Remember the guy who's the soldier's servant was ill.
Yeah.
Jesus could say, he says, you don't need to come, Jesus, just say the word, it'll be sorted out. The boy couldn't hear. He was miles away. And when Jesus speaks, done. So he said it in a loud voice so that the crowd could hear. And then what did he say? Lazarus,
come out,
come forth. Lazarus, come out. Now you've heard this, haven't you? Yeah? You've heard this. Why did Jesus say, Lazarus, come out? Because if he'd only said, come out, they'd have all come out. Yeah? Jesus one day is going to say, come out, and all the graves are going to open.
Yeah.
That includes Eastwood Cemetery. Yeah? All the graves are going to open when Jesus says, come out. That's going to be someday, isn't it? Gee, man. Wow. Anyway, he said Lazarus. As I say, I feel sorry for Lazarus. Yeah? That means Lazarus' spirit has to come back to this, I would suggest, a reconstituted body. Because remember, when Lazarus died, he was sick. Right? Yeah? So now, it's no good bringing back his spirit to a sick body. Jesus is going to bring it back to a fixed body. Yeah? So there's more miracles going on than you realise. Yeah? So Lazarus is coming back healthy. Yeah? And alive, of course. Yeah? So, he says, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. When he says the dead man came out, it doesn't mean the dead man came out. He means the man who was dead came out.
Yeah.
You got the point, yeah? The dead man who was dead isn't dead anymore. He came out. That proved he wasn't dead, of course, yeah? It says his hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. So they tied him up, you know. That's what they did when they buried people. They put his arms by his side and fastened his feet. So how did he come out? So, waddling out like a penguin or something like that, yeah? Right, that was a sign. And why the bandage around his face? It wasn't that way around, it was round the back. Stop the jaw, because when decomposition goes, the jaw drops, yeah? So, keep his mouth shut, yeah? Right, so, yeah, it's all grim stuff, isn't it, yeah? So, there he comes out, waddling out, all wrapped up. And what does Jesus say? Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Why does Jesus tell them to take off the grave clothes? Because they can. They can do it. Yeah? Jesus won't do what you can do. Yeah? They can take off the grave clothes. It also gives them something to do instead of all owing and ahhing, I suppose. Yeah, so they unwrap the guy. That's great.
Right,
isn't it?
The guy knew.
Yeah? Okay. Right, so what's the effect of all of that? Now just think, that was quite something, wasn't it?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to have been there?
Yeah.
That was really worth seeing. Yeah. Well, those that were there, it says, therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Right? That was the object of why Jesus let Lazarus die. It was in order to save people, to bring them to a relationship with him.
Yeah.
So in a strange way, and I'm sure Lazarus would say after conversation with Jesus, it was worth it, Lord, see all those people saved.
Yeah.
I know what I went through, I wouldn't ask for it twice, but it was worth it. Yeah. Because those people got saved as a result of what happened. Yeah. So, it says, they put their faith in him, that's what it's about. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Now then, there's always some out there. Yeah. They go off and they tell the Pharisees what Jesus had done. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. They're that worried, they call an official meeting of the parliament, we call it. The chief priests and all that stuff. Yeah? Right, okay. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is the man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Right. See, this Jesus is trouble. Says everybody's going to start believing in him. What's their worry? They're going to lose their power. Yes. They assume that Jesus is going to become the Messiah that they thought, you know, the military one. That he's going to fight the Romans, then the Romans will come and fight back, and what they'll do is, they'll take away our place. What's our place?
Now,
I don't think it means their position at that point, yeah? I think it means their place, meaning the temple. Yeah? That's their religious centre. Yeah? If we let Jesus carry on like this, the Romans are going to come and smash our temple and take away our nation, in other words, take us away, as slaves or whatever, yeah? Isn't that interesting? That's what they feared if they let Jesus carry on. Do you know what happened? They killed Jesus, and that's exactly what happened in AD 70.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah? Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
The thing they feared was the thing that happened, and they thought getting rid of Jesus would stop it.
Yeah.
And getting rid of Jesus brought it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strange, isn't it? But God works in mysterious ways. Yeah. So, right, then one of them, now one of them is called Caiaphas, named Caiaphas, who was the high priest for that year, spoke up. Now Caiaphas, if you read around about Caiaphas, you're going to read about him, he was a thoroughly arrogant piece of work. You know, he looked down on everybody else, he thought he was the best thing that ever happened. Not very pleasant man, yes? And look at his way he speaks here. Caiaphas, who was the high priest of that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. These are all his mates. Yeah? His colleagues in the parliament, in the Sanhedrin. And he goes, you know nothing at all. That's what he called a put down. Yeah? You don't realise that it's better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. So that's his plan. Bump Jesus off and we've sorted it.
Yeah.
Yeah? That's the answer. Get rid of Jesus. So that's the plan. Get rid of Jesus to spare the nation. He did not. Now this is a really interesting thing. He did not say this on his own, yeah? Well, he did say it on his own, didn't he? But what it means is, it wasn't just what he said.
It
wasn't just what he said. It was something that was coming through with it, yeah? Yeah? He didn't say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. Why? So, here, now this is a strange thing, to my mind. This man is a thoroughly nasty piece of work. He doesn't really believe in God. He's a Sadducee after all. Yeah? But also, he's about to get Jesus murdered, the Messiah. Yeah? So he's not what I would choose as to be a prophet. Yeah? And yet, God used his words to say something that he never meant.
Yeah.
He says the words, it's right for him to die to save the nation. Yeah? And he meant, let's bump him off so we're okay.
Yeah.
What God meant was, Jesus is going to die in order to save the people.
So, did they vote in the high priest annually?
Well, they must have had some sort of way of doing it. Yeah,
I just always assumed that it was
a high priest. Hereditary. Well, it was a family business. They were all. It was a family business. This one, yes. Yeah. It was him and his uncles and all that lot. Yeah. It was a closed shop, definitely. Yeah. But here he is prophesying, though he never meant to prophesy. Yeah. And the only thing that it strikes me as is, you remember that guy called Balaam?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the donkey.
And his donkey. Mm-hmm. Balaam started beating his donkey because the donkey saw what Balaam didn't see. The angel of the Lord with a sword, ready to finish him off. Yeah, so the donkey got a thrashing because it wouldn't go. Yeah. And eventually the donkey talks. Yeah. And he answers the donkey. He knows the donkey, it's not the donkey. It's him. Yeah. But what I'm doing is, God can use anything to speak through. Yeah. And he's using this evil man to say something that's really profound. Yeah. So now let's move. There's something really more as well in this one. That Jesus, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. So Jews were included. That's good news, eh? Pleased by that. Yeah. He died for them. Said, but not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one. What's the promise in that? Scattered children of God are Gentiles. Yeah? Jesus is, and this is one of the early predictions that it's making it, that Jesus would bring in the Jews and the Gentiles, and they would come on an equal footing and make them one.
No.
Right? Jew and that's the point of the church, yeah? The Jew and the church, the Jew and the Gentile are one in the church. They're Jews and Gentiles. It's not Gentiles becoming Jews or Jews becoming Gentiles. They're different, but they become one in the church, in the family of God, yeah? So Jesus is promising, and Paul picks that up later on in a lot more detail, of course, but Jesus said it first, as he always would do, yeah? So, from that day on, they plotted to take his life. So the issue with Lazarus is the turning point. Up to that point they were a bit upset about him and they weren't quite sure what to do. But from Lazarus on, they decided he's got to go. Yeah.
So he knew, didn't he, what was happening?
Oh yes, yeah. And Jesus did it deliberately. Because he's in charge of the timetable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, there you are. So, God moves in some amazing ways. He blesses Lazarus, blesses his sisters, blesses the people who were there, and he's also moving on the program to the time when he comes to die for the people. Yeah? Well, we'll have to stop there. Okay? Well, why don't you just finish the chapter? Yeah, yeah.
Was it ever mentioned when Lazarus died?
No, it doesn't.
No, just
no, not after that, no.
Off,
yeah. Well, we meet them a little later on in John's Gospel, where Mary anoints Jesus. And the guess is, it's out of gratitude for what he did for them.
Yeah.
Mm. Bringing your brother back is quite a big thing, isn't it? Yeah?
Mm.
Anyway, let's just last a little bit then. where have I lost my place? There, 54. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to the region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. So, he moved out of town again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Because he knew what they
were
going to do.
He knew what they were going to do, and it's not time.
Yeah.
So he's stalling them now, yes, right, okay. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, why does John say it's the Jewish Passover? Because it is the Jewish Passover, we know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else does Passover apart from Jews, yeah? Why does he say the Jewish Passover then? Because he's writing to Gentiles.
Yeah.
He's saying it's a Jewish feast, yeah? Right, so when it's almost time for the Jewish Passover, what time of year would that be?
Now, wasn't it?
October.
No,
it's not October, no. October is the Feast of Tabernacles.
Easter.
It's Easter time, yes. It's springtime. Yeah, spring's coming, yeah. Right. Remember, December was the Feast of Lights.
Yeah.
the dead piece of dedication when he did the blind man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a few months later, getting close to time now, yeah, a few months later he raises Lazarus. We get towards March, April, which is Passover time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so when it was time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. So they all got themselves prepared for the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast of all?" That the chief priests and Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, he should report it so that they might arrest him. So Jesus kept out of town. Yeah. until the time. Yeah. Right, stop there then. So we've got Lazarus back for a while.
Wow.
Dear old Lazarus, as I say, he's got to die twice.
Yeah.
There was a lady. I heard some testimony about this lady. She died, and God from the Lord, and the pastor, he decided to pray for her for some reason. Well, he prayed for her and she came back to life, and she gave him a real bashing, lip bashing, not ear bashing. What did you do that for? I was just enjoying
it. I witnessed that. Yeah. I was in the post office with my neighbour.
Yeah.
And she dropped dead.
Yeah.
I prayed for her while she was on the floor, and then the ambulance man came and I said, "Could you tell me if she's dead?" You know, they said, "Yes, she's dead." I said, "Because I've got to go back and tell her family, you know."
Yeah.
So they said, "No, she's dead." And then she rose up again. She, when the daughter went to the hospital, I prayed for her to the daughter.
Yeah.
She went to the hospital. They said she's gone too.
Oh.
Yeah. And but she died about 10 minutes later. But the daughter saw her.
Yes.
She was able to. Yeah. She always wanted her daughter to be with her.
Right.
You know. So she woke up for 10 minutes.
Wow.
And went up again.
Well, there you go.
Just shows you she's broken.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, there you are.
Yeah.
You never know, do you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you did for Lazarus. Thank you for what you did for Mary and Martha. Lord, you really did love them. And though sometimes strange experiences are part of our pathway, Lord, we still, Lord, by faith, can hold on to the fact that you're working everything for good for those who love you, Lord. Lord, as strange as that may seem at times in our lives, help us to trust you. Help us, like Martha, to think more about what you said than rather than what we see. Lord, it's so easy to get taken in by circumstances. Lord, help us to trust you and what you promised us, Lord. We need wisdom. We really do, Lord. But we thank you, Lord. All power is yours and the glory belongs to you. We thank you, Lord. We can still proclaim there is the day coming when the dead will hear. And those that have put their trust in you, Lord, their bodies will be restored to perfect life, Lord. We want to say thank you, Jesus, that you are the resurrection and the life.
Mm.
And Lord, in you, we can experience that life that begins now and goes on forever. We say thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.